Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a pirate signal chopped vinyl texture in Ableton Live 12, and we're turning it into a real drum and bass DJ tool, not just a random noisy effect. If that phrase sounds a little wild, good, that's exactly the vibe we want. Think broken radio transmission, dusty vinyl crackle, half-heard voice fragments, gritty interference, and rhythmic little bursts that feel like they're sneaking through the mix. This kind of texture is perfect for DNB because it adds movement, danger, and atmosphere without stepping on the kick, snare, or sub. The big idea here is simple. Don't think of this as a continuous bed of noise. Think in events, short appearances, small moments of instability. That's what makes it feel like a pirate broadcast instead of wallpaper. Let's start by setting up a dedicated audio track. Name it Pirate Sig. Keep it separate from your drum bus and bass bus so you can shape it independently. That separation matters a lot in DNB, because your low end needs to stay clean and the texture needs to behave like a support layer, not a second lead. Now grab a source with character. It could be a radio static recording, a spoken fragment, a vinyl crackle sample, a field recording with interference, or even a tiny slice from your own bounce if it has some noise in it. The key is that it should have irregularity. In this style, imperfect source material is often the best material. Turn work on, then choose the warp mode based on the source. If there's voice or tonal content, try Complex Pro. If you want a rawer, more unstable vinyl feel, try Repitch. Keep transposition modest unless you want a really obvious character shift. A few semitones up or down is usually enough. Next, we're going to chop the source into playable pieces. You can either slice it to a new MIDI track if there are a lot of transients, or manually cut it in arrangement view if it's more phrase-based. If you slice to MIDI, use transient slicing or 1/8 slicing depending on the material. Then keep the slices inside Sampler or a drum rack for easy triggering. Here's where the texture starts becoming musical. Don't just scatter chops randomly. Build a pattern that interacts with the drums. A really good starting point is a one-bar loop with chops landing around snare gaps, or slightly before a fill, or just after a snare hit. You want the texture to answer the groove, not compete with it. In drum and bass, that negative space is everything. The drums are already moving hard, the bass is already carrying weight, so the pirate signal works best when it pops in and out with intention. A little off-grid human feel is great here too. Tiny timing offsets can make it feel like a real busted transmission instead of a perfectly programmed MIDI pattern. Now let's shape the tone. Start with auto filter. Use it to band limit the signal so it feels like it's coming through some old receiver. A low pass somewhere around 1.5 to 4 kHz can give you that murky, restricted broadcast character. Add a high pass around 120 to 250 Hz so the sub stays open. If you want that tuning dial edge, add a bit of resonance. After that, add saturator. Drive it gently, just enough to bring out the grit and density. Soft clip-on is a good move here. Then trim the output so you're not just making it louder for no reason. We want attitude, not mud. If you want a more broken, digital transmission feel, add a little redux. Keep it restrained. A subtle bit reduction and a touch of downsampling can add that crushed radio edge, but if you go too far, you'll lose the fine rhythmic detail that makes the texture useful. If the layer needs more motion, add utility and automate the width. You can move it between narrow and wider states across the arrangement, but keep the low end mono safe. In fact, this whole texture should live away from the sub lane anyway. The center of your mix belongs to the kick, snare, and bass. Now let's get more rhythmic. Put the slices into Sampler in slice mode, or map them into a drum rack. In Sampler, use trigger mode for tight one shots, and make sure your start points and fades are clean so you don't get clicks unless you want clicks. In drum rack, assign 8 to 16 useful chops and leave some pads empty on purpose. That little bit of space helps the pattern breathe. This is the moment where the pirate signal layer becomes a proper DJ tool. Program it so it acts like a call and response with the drums. Maybe it answers after a snare. Maybe it bursts in right before a fill. Maybe it disappears on the downbeat and comes back on the upbeat. That kind of phrasing makes the texture feel deliberate and useful. To make the signal feel unstable, add movement effects. Auto pan is a great choice. Keep the amount moderate and experiment with different rates. A slower rate gives you a drifting broadcast feel. A faster rate makes it nervous and jittery. Phase at 0 gives a harder movement. Phase at 180 can make it feel wider and more swaying. You can also try frequency shifter very subtly to create tuning drift, like the signal is being nudged off frequency. Keep this delicate. You want instability, not a sci-fi effect that takes over the track. Echo is another nice tool if you want ghosted transmission tails. Use short delay times and modest feedback, and filter the repeats so they sit behind the dry signal. That helps create the feeling of a signal that's bouncing around in a tunnel or alleyway. And remember, contrast sells the effect. If you automate the filter so the texture is almost hidden in one section and then opens up suddenly in the next, it reads like a signal emerging from the noise. That's way more exciting than just leaving it at one static setting the whole time. Once the loop feels good, resample it. This is an excellent intermediate move because it freezes the movement into audio, which gives you more control in the arrangement. Create a new audio track called Pirate Resample, route the texture into it, and record a 1 or 2 bar pass. Now you can cut that resample into new shapes, reverse little bits for transitions, stretch a few hits, and use clip gain to create phrase dynamics. After resampling, warp thin audio so it locks to the grid. Beats mode works well for percussive fragments. Complex or texture can be great if the sound has smoother noise tails or grainy detail. This is where you start thinking like an arranger, not just a sound designer. In the intro, keep the pirate signal filtered, sparse, and narrow. Let it establish the mood without filling every gap. In the build, open the filter a little more, increase the chop density, and maybe add a reversed swell or a little delay throw. Then at the drop, pull the texture back so it ducks under the drums and bass. You might leave just one ghost chop every 2 bars, or a subtle burst right before a fill. That's the real DJ tool mindset. The texture should help the track move. It should mark sections, bridge transitions, and signal changes in energy. It's there to support the arrangement, not to sit on top of everything and demand attention. Now let's make sure the mix stays clean. Use EQ8 to high-pass the texture somewhere between 150 and 300 HC, depending on how much low-mid clutter it has. If there's harshness, notch a little around 2.5 to 5 kHz. If the texture feels too thin, you can give it a gentle lift around 700 HC to 1.2 kHz for body. But be careful. In DNB, the snare and break often live in that same zone, so don't crowd them. Check mono compatibility with utility. If the layer feels too wide, narrow it down, especially in the low mids. A wide, noisy texture can blur the center image and weaken the impact of the drums. If the texture is getting in the way of the groove, use sidechain compression from the kick or drum bus. You don't need dramatic pumping, just gentle ducking so the drums stay front and center. A few common mistakes to avoid here. Don't leave too much low end in the texture. The sub and kick need a clean lane. Don't make it too loud. If you mute it and suddenly the whole tune feels broken, that's probably about the right level. Don't spread it too wide. Too much stereo can wash out the center. Don't chop randomly without rhythm. Every hit should have a reason. And don't overprocess it. Usually 2 to 4 deliberate devices will do more for you than 10 random ones. A few pro moves can really elevate this. Try reverse-only response clips before snare accents or section changes. Try dual speed modulation with one slow movement and one faster gate-like movement. Try a call sign motif, where one specific chop repeats every 8 or 16 bars like a station ID. That can make the tune feel like it has an identity. You can also split the texture into 2 layers. One is low mid grit, one is high hiss. Process them differently and blend them lightly. That often sounds bigger than crushing one file into oblivion. For arrangement, think in phrases. Drop the texture at the start or end of every 8 bars so it becomes a subtle signpost. Use it to bridge between sections with different energy. Let it answer the drum fills. And if you want a really strong DJ-friendly flow, mirror the intro with the outro so the tune opens and closes in the same language. Here's the practical takeaway. A strong pirate signal chop tonal texture in DNB comes from 3 things: useful source material, rhythmic chopping, and arrangement intent. Keep it out of the sub. Shape it with stock Ableton tools. Give it a role in the song. And to make it feel like a broken broadcast that's drifting through the tune, not a static layer pasted on top. If it feels like an illegal transmission rolling through a dark alley rave, you're doing it right. Now it's your turn. Build a short pirate signal loop. Chop it with purpose. Automate the filter across 8 bars, resample it, and place it into an intro, a build, and a drop-adjacent roll. Keep it tight, keep it gritty, and let the imperfections do some of the heavy lifting.